Bonneter 68 on the first weekend in February. And as you no doubt know, in most parts of the country, the groundhog did not see his shadow yesterday. As a matter of fact, the weather was so bad, the groundhog didn't even come out. And that's supposed to mean the end of winter. Ah, but what does a groundhog know anyhow, huh? I'm your host, Ted Steele, starting things off with music. Here's Sonny James in A World of Our Own.
Close the door, light the light. We're staying home tonight, far away from the bustle and the bright city lights. Let them all fade away. Just leave us alone, and we'll live in a world of our own. Oh, my love, oh, my love, I cry for you so much. Lonely nights without sleeping, how I long for your touch. Now your lips can't erase the heartache I've known. Come with me to a world of our own. We'll build a world of our own that no one else can share. All our sorrows will leave far behind up there, and I know you will find there'll be peace of mind when we live in a world of our own.
Call your FTD florist today for Valentine's Day flowers.
When's Valentine's Day?
Ring Around the World monitors weekend series of close-ups of people and events here and abroad. In a minute, an examination of the possibility of successful negotiations with North Korea and North Vietnam. Brought to you by Newsweek, the one news weekly that separates fact from opinion. Newsweek magazine has always been meticulous about separating fact from opinion, making sure that the only opinions expressed in its pages are signed opinions. And more these days, Newsweek is encouraging its correspondents and editors to write pieces under their own names that spring from highly personal experience or observation. And these vivid, intensely personal accounts, always under a byline, give today's Newsweek an additional dimension, a new depth, an even more distinct personality. In the field of criticism, too, where it's been traditional among newsweeklies to keep the critic anonymous, Newsweek has broken with tradition. Now in Newsweek, when you read a review of a book, movie, play, television show, or piece of music or art, you know who wrote that review. The personal truth. One more reason why Newsweek has become the world's most quoted newsweekly. This week and every week from now on, read Newsweek, the one newsweekly that separates fact from opinion. Now here's James Robinson, NBC News, Washington.
In the offing are two sets of negotiations in Asia. Actually, one, in Korea, has got off to a hesitating start. The other, concerning Vietnam, is presently stalled by behind-the-scene diplomacy and very much on-the-scene military conflict. The Military Armistice Commission did convene very quietly at Panmunjom late this week. American and North Korean delegates initiated discussions on what the price would be for the return of the USS Pueblo and crew. Evidently, the first bid was either too low or high, depending on the side, and the meeting ended with only negative results for the U.S. But that comes as no real surprise to those who have had to suffer under negotiations with the North Koreans. That the North Korean communist negotiators are difficult is an understatement. Rather, they are bellicose and rude, and in the instance of the Pueblo, it is a certainty they will want to exact several pounds of flesh for every ounce of civilized action. It is also a certainty the negotiations will go off and on in fits of anger, and sometime in the unknown future, the crew and possibly the ship will be released. The ransom paid will be embarrassingly high. There might yet have to be some prices paid to get the negotiations underway with Hanoi and perhaps the National Liberation Front. For Hanoi and Washington don't see eye to eye on the communist military rampage throughout South Vietnam. Hanoi proclaims it a stunning victory, and a stunned Washington insists the opposite. But there is speculation in some official circles here that it might be worthwhile considering tacitly acknowledging a military one-upsmanship for the comrades on the military scene. For they speculate Hanoi might prove itself less intransigent to negotiations, what with a victory of sorts under its belt. This is commonly known as FACE, and FACE plays a vital role in the preliminary diplomatic jousting before talks. That jousting is continuing through a series of private channels. But what responses are being received here from Hanoi are secret. James Robinson, NBC News, Washington.
Ring Around the World monitors weekend series of close-ups of people and events here and abroad. Was also brought to you by State Farm Mutual.
Hi, I'm Phil Foster. Here's a letter from a guy who says, Phil, you said that State Farm Fire Casualty offers big home insurance protection and fast claim service at low cost. I thought all home insurance costs were more or less the same. That's right, sir. They are, more or less. With most companies, you pay more. With State Farm, usually less.
For your home and your car and your life. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
High Chaparral, our monitor music, David Rose in the orchestra. Now a monitor Olympic brief. France's Jean-Claude Killy is favored to win a gold medal triple in the alpine events of the Winter Olympics, which open in Grenoble, France, next Tuesday. But take it from Tony Seiler of Austria, the only alpine triple gold medalist in history, Killy won't make it. Seiler says he has no chance because he's under too much pressure. All tickets for the opening ceremony have been sold out. It will be held in a specially constructed 60,000-seat stadium. It will be dismantled immediately afterward. An Olympic ski jumper faces stiff competition, and he faces raw, biting winter weather as well. When you face raw, biting winter weather, be sure to use ChapStick. ChapStick does more than just help heal dry, chapped lips. Its moisturizing ingredients protect against chapping. ChapStick has been selected for use by the 1968 U.S. Olympic winter teams. Look for ChapStick in the familiar black and white tube now displaying the Olympic seal. Pick up one for every member of your family. and use it before you need it. The U.S. Olympic teams do. In 1 minute, all today's sports news here on the Monitor Beacon.
Keep in step with
and now here are some of the day's highlights in sports. The United States Lawn Tennis Association voted 16-1 today in favor of open tennis competition between amateurs and professionals. The USLTA also threatened to pull out of the International Lawn Tennis Federation unless it's changed its rules. In Oakland, underdog Jerry Quarry stopped Thad Spencer at 2:57 of the 12th and final round to move into the finals of the World Boxing Association Heavyweight Elimination Tournament. Quarry's next opponent will be Jimmy Ellis, the winner to succeed Cassius Clay as champion. After four rounds of the 90-hole Bob Hope Desert Classic Golf Tournament, Billy Casper is the leader. He had a 4-under par 68 today for a 72-hole score of 279 and a one-stroke lead over Arnold Palmer. Monitor is airing the tournament throughout the weekend. The United States flag was raised in the Winter Olympic Village in Grenoble, France today. The honor of carrying the stars and stripes in Tuesday's opening ceremonies will go to speed skater Terry McDermott, the only American gold medal winner in the 1964 Winter Olympics. Snow blanketed many Olympic sites today, curtailing practice, but these were the developments. North Korea pulled out of the games in protest against the International Olympic Committee's refusal to change North Korea's name to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Members of the United States Women's Olympic Alpine Ski Team were given measles shots after Kiki Cutter of Bend, Oregon, dated a French skier and came down with measles. And the French organizers said that a total of 1,355 athletes from 37 nations will participate in the Winter Olympics, making it the biggest in history. NBC, of course, is covering the games daily and on weekends. In college basketball, Purdue defeated Northwestern 98-89. Florida State downed East Carolina 110-100. St. John's nicked Niagara 74-73. Tennessee routed Mississippi 88-46. Detroit 82, Notre Dame 79. Illinois took Iowa 66-63. Kansas edged Oklahoma 72-70. Fordham 88, Pittsburgh 63. And South Carolina turned back Wake Forest 80-76. In horse racing, a 45-1 shot named Favorable Turn won the $50,000 added Seminole handicap at Hialeah. Rick Stahl and the favorite In Reality trailed at the wire. Individual members of the armed forces who have been invited to compete in the February 16th New York Athletic Club track meet must decide for themselves whether to do so, the Pentagon said today. And that's the latest sports news. For the best and most comprehensive sports news, stay tuned to Monitor. Edie Gourmet sings.
You're young, little girl, and you can't see past tomorrow. So sing, little girl, for the world is yours. Life is but a moment, but in that moment you can live a lifetime filled with happiness and laughter. Don't let that golden moment slip away. Life is but a moment.
Don't forget.
What?
To call your FTD florist today for Valentine's Day flowers.
When's Valentine's Day?
Michael Caine is one of the most successful motion picture actors today. He starred in Alfie, The Ypres File, and Funeral in Berlin. He's been called an overnight success, and Monitor reporter Rick Lazar asked him about that when he visited him on location in Mallorca.
Michael, the press releases always say, Michael Caine, overnight success. How do you feel about that thing? When I read something like that, I really don't know. Well, for a guy who spent 10 years out of work and 15 years learning his trade, I'm very glad to have press releases at all. So you've had a few odd jobs before becoming an actor. What were they? They were mostly very odd. I was a night porter in a coffee bar and hotel, which meant that I washed up in the evenings and then stayed on all night, sleeping on tables with blankets and letting in latecomers. I worked as a demolition man with a road drill, we call it here. You know, one of those pneumatic drills for breaking up roads. I worked in a tea warehouse. I worked in making jewel boxes in a factory that made jewel boxes. I worked in a laundry. I worked in a mass of different jobs, none of them ever having to do with brain work. It was all muscle work because I used to work with my muscles. I didn't earn very much at that. I haven't got very big muscles. And I used to sort of live in a mental world of my own. And so I always chose physical jobs rather than mental jobs because I could never hold any of those down. I was always off being an actor somewhere, even when I was out of work. For me, that period of my life was the saddest and hardest. But also, I think for me as an actor, it was the most valuable because it was the nearest I've been to the people who go and see the movies that I make.
Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Our guest has been Michael Caine. This is Rick Lazar in Mallorca, reporting for Monitor.
Jimmy Rogers, I Believed It All. And in 1 minute, Claudine Langer sings on the Monitor Beacon. Here's Claudine Langer's latest on Monitor, I Love How You Love Me.
I love how your eyes glow whenever you kiss me. And when I'm away from you, I love how you miss me. I love the way you always sweet to me tenderly. But darling, most of all, I love how your heart beats.
Monitor report direct from the 1968 Winter Olympics in Grenoble, France. Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury, makers of better idea cars inspired by the Lincoln Continental. In a minute, the discussion of the amateur and the Olympic rules about being one. But first, this message.
Mercury's got a hot new car.
Go, go, Montego.
Montego is spectacular.
Go, go, Montego.
Only the Lincoln Continental people would know how to make the Mercury Montego. Mercury's newest and lowest priced luxury car. Montego is Mercury's bright new star. Montego's got sedans and hardtops, convertibles, station wagons too. The hot new Mercury since Cougar, inside and out, it's completely new.
Go, go, Montego!
Man, you ought to see Montego go.
Mercury Montego combines Cougar excitement with full six-passenger comfort at your Mercury dealers.
This is Len Dillon in the conference room of the International Olympic Committee in the City Hall in Grenoble, France. And my guest is Colonel John Westerhoff, the Secretary General of the International Olympic Committee. Colonel, you brought up the amateur standings of Nancy Green of Canada, Jean-Claude Killy, and Marie Goichel of France. We'd like your comment.
Well, Len, we in the Olympic Games want to have amateurs competing with each other, and we don't want to have professionals in there. In this specific case, the fact of Nancy Green, she was awarded a $5,000 scholarship. So I investigated with the Canadian Olympic Committee. Now, I got an answer that Nancy Green refused to accept the $5,000 scholarship, and that settled the point with Nancy Green. Second thing was about Jean-Claude Killy, where I found in an international paper a half-page advertisement saying that Jean-Claude Killy was a racing ace, and they gave a picture on the right-down corner about his performance with a Porsche race somewhere south in Italy. Well, I got an answer from Porsche in Stuttgart, from the factory, saying that they apologized very much, but they used Jean-Claude Killy's pictures without his knowledge. I don't believe it, but I have no evidence.
Colonel, what about Maria Goitschel?
From private information, I heard that she was on a payroll, even giving me the amounts in full. So there again, I wrote to the French Olympic Committee, and they stated that she was the purest amateur they ever could find.
What about the case of the Austrian figure skating champion, Emmerich Danzer?
As you know, I have a farm, and one night after working in the farm the whole day, I just opened up the television, and I saw an interview of Emmerich Danzer training somewhere in Dortmund. And after that, he said that the whole training expenses were paid by his very rich skating club in Vienna. And you can understand that I nearly fell from my chair that an Olympic competitor was making such a statement. So in this case, I investigated with the Austrian Olympic Committee, but anyhow, they tried to trace the tape, but nobody could find the tape anymore.
Colonel John Westerhoff, Secretary General of the International Olympic Committee, thank you very much. This is Len Dillon in the International Olympic Committee conference room in the City Hall in Grenoble, France, for Monitor Sports.
More people have switched to Cougar than any car in its class. The Big Cap is a roaring success. Cougar, the only car in its class that gives you concealed headlamps, sequential turn signals, V8 engine, bucket seats, floor-mounted stick shift, all at no extra cost. The fact is, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, Cougar is America's best-equipped luxury sports car. Mercury's got it. The Big Cat. Cougar. Get it at your Mercury dealers.
Olympic coverage weekends and every day brought to you by Lincoln Mercury. For Mercury, Montego, and Cougar.
Walk,
hand in hand,
let me show you a wonderland.
Let's take a walk, side by side, imagination will be your guide.
That's the latest from Trini Lopez. Let's take a walk. Sergio Mendez and Say a Little Prayer. In Indianapolis, we're heard on WFBM. Wherever you're listening, stay with us. We'll be back shortly. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
Hello, everybody. This is Kate Smith. I'll be visiting Monitor this weekend. Won't you join us? We'll be right here on NBC Radio.
Have we been invaded by the Martians? Watch Flying Saucers on the Sunday Film Festival tonight at 11:30.
That's tomorrow night at 11:30 on Channel 4, New York.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Ahoy, San Francisco! The sailors of the U.S. carrier, Oriskany, have given fair warning to single girls. It seems when the ship docked, they hoisted a huge sign on the side of the ship saying, "We're here to make love, not war." Music on Monitor, Jerry Vale sings, "Don't Tell My Heart to Stop Loving You."
Tell me now to just walk away. Say our love's part of your past. Tell me to stay, not another day. I should have known it would never last. But don't tell my heart to stop loving you. You know that's more than my heart can do. Now and for all of my whole life through, don't tell my heart to stop loving you. Tell me the hurt will soon be gone, and once again I'll learn how to smile. Say that my tears won't stay too long. Tell me it takes just a little while.
Lady serenaded on Monitor by Les and Larry Elgart. Thank you. And I'm your host, Ted Steele. We'll hear from the man who runs the bank at Monte Carlo. Well, he doesn't really run it, but he's in charge of seeing it's run right. And later on in this half hour, Al Capp will talk about middle-agers. Yeah, a group that's been largely ignored since all the attention has been given to teenagers. Here's a new song, If You Could Only Be Me. An American in Monaco has been causing quite a stir. He's Wilfred Grote, a financial expert with a Wall Street background, brought in to modernize the tiny kingdom and supervise the casino. Reporter John Cannon interviewed him about life in the little country ruled by Prince Rainier and the former Grace Kelly.
Well, first of all, let's ask you about the princess. She's a particular concern of ours because we don't have any other girls from Philadelphia who became princesses.
The princess? The way she lives, the way she acts, and the way she does things has gained the admiration of her people.
Well, you know her up close, as it were. I understand she visits with your family, so you're a good friend.
I would be very proud to say that.
Now, let's talk about some of the other people who know her. Who are some of the visitors from the old days who come to see the princess?
Well, I know that there's a mutual admiration society between the princess and Alfred Hitchcock. They still are in close contact. I have seen a number of other people from the Hollywood community. The David Niven's live here. They see each other quite a bit. I've seen the Burtons. And a little bit out of the, let's say, the movie crowd, Paul Gallico lives not far from here, and he is seen quite often at the palace.
All right. Now let's talk about what you do. You're at the casino, Monte Carlo. How about breaking the bank at Monte Carlo? Has anyone done that lately?
Well, we have to define what we mean by breaking the bank of Monte Carlo. In fact, and in reality, that never happened. But it could conceivably happen that one day, when there are great winners, that all of a sudden the cash runs low. And since I've been here, it happened once that on a weekend, all of a sudden we had to call up the banks here and open up the vaults and get some more cash. Because it's one of the traditions of the casino that we never write a check. No matter how high the winnings are, we pay out in cash.
People do come along with systems on how to beat the bank consistently, don't they? What's the newest wrinkle in that?
Oh, yes. There are all sorts of theories about it, and we get about two or three letters a day of somebody who thinks that he has come up with a new system. But so far, no system has been devised. Although, lately, at the blackjack table, we found out that there was one gentleman from the States, incidentally, who kept on winning all the time. And our people were rather puzzled until somebody realized that the man always had his hand in his pocket. So we found out that he came up with a little pocket computer that he kept in his pocket, and he kept clicking away in his pocket. So now, if you play blackjack at Monte Carlo, you've got to have your hands out of your pocket.
Say, where do you get that computer, though?
I'm not going to tell you.
Now, people get put on lists here, too, don't they? I mean, if you do irregular things, there's a discreet list kept so you don't come back.
If somebody has done something out of line, has been incorrect, or has tried to cheat, then he is on the list. And we have several people, they call them physiognomists, people who remember faces, and even if you put on a beard or mustache or change your hair color, and you come back after 5 years, these people pick them out of a crowd of thousands of people.
Will, there are a lot of us who, maybe we couldn't break the bank, but we'd like to have your job of running the bank at Monte Carlo. Now, let's get an idea of what you did before. What were some of the jobs you had in America?
Well, I started out on Wall Street. Then I was in business in general.
That's another kind of casino.
Another kind of casino, import and export business, which is, there's quite a bit of gambling involved in it. And my last job was with one of the major American airlines, where I was director of hotel and tourist development. A couple of years ago, I made a study for this particular airline, which brought me to the principality. And this was the contact which eventually led to my present job.
We've been talking from one of the world's three smallest countries, the Principality of Monaco. We've been talking with an American who works here at the Bank of Monte Carlo, if you will, Wilfred Grote. This is John Cannon from Monaco for Monitor.
And the best way to break the bank today is not by gambling, but by writing. Here's the song based on a book that broke the bank, Valley of the Dolls. Dionne Warwick sings it.
In When will I know why?
At 14 minutes before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Monitor New York and predictions for the future.
What is your prediction?
My prediction is that all these alligators nestling in these sewers are going to rise up and invade.
Monitor New York. Heart transplants. A doctor's opinion.
Dr. Friedman, you are saying that the heart transplant operations are really experimental.
They are experimental, absolutely.
Monitor New York, a professor's view of the draft.
Professor Braun, why did you turn your card into the Justice Department?
In support of the young men who turned their cards in protest against the war.
Monitor New York, a comedian, Dayton Allen.
Do you know what Monitor New York is?
Oh, yes. It's a guy that stands in a classroom and tells you you can't go out because the cars are there.
Monitor New York. Enjoyment all weekend, every weekend. Join Big Wilson, Lee Leonard, Bill Mazur, and me, Wayne Howell, your Monitor New York hosts on WNBC.
Monitor New York, WNBC, New York.
Deep in step with Monitor.
And here's Sagittarius with another time, this time on Monitor.
Forget.
What?
To call your FTD florist today for Valentine's Day flowers.
When's Valentine's Day?
11 days from now, that's when. But it's never too late to start early. And you know, even though people laugh at funny Valentines and say they aren't sentimental themselves, there isn't anyone who doesn't think that she deserves at least one romantic Valentine. Here come the Mills Brothers and Cab Driver.
Driver, drive by Mary's place.
just want a chance to see her face. There's a little place we used to eat. Do, do, be, do, 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 be, do. That's where I laid my future at her feet. Do, do, be, do, 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 be, do. Cab driver, once more down the street. Do, 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 do. Cab driver, why don't you wait here by her door? Do, do, be, do. Perhaps I'll hold her in my arms once more. Do, do, be, do, 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 do. And then things will be just like they were before. Do, do, be, do, 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 do. Oh, cab driver, wait here by her door. Do, 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 do. Cab driver,
Monitor's talking cartoonist Al Capp is a champion of the people. Well, maybe not all the people, but right now he's going to stick up for the vast middle-aged group, which seems to be sticking up for itself these days. Here's Al.
Just when all of us are over 30, or all of us middle-aged, we're getting accustomed to facing the fact that the teenage revolution against us has been overwhelmingly successful and getting resigned to the fact that teenagers are now the ruling class, just when we'd learned to be content to work for them and be despised by them, there are unmistakable signs that everything's going to be upset again, that a revolt of the middle age or the workers of the world against the world's teenagers is brewing. For the first time since we were subdued by them some 10 years ago, middle-aged militants are publicly saying things about teenagers that border on the disrespectful. Former Ambassador George Kennan, who's been middle-aged for so long that he's now on the faculty of Princeton, wrote in an article in the New York Times, Sunday Times magazine the other day, that in his opinion, teenagers who call themselves student protesters are kidding not only themselves but the world. He pointed out that student protesters are so busy protesting the great issues of the time, they haven't any time to learn anything about them, and so their claim to be students is as fraudulent as their protests are ignorant. At that very moment, across the Atlantic, another middle-aged troublemaker, the English editor and educator Malcolm Muggeridge, resigned from his high office at Edinburgh University. He said he didn't want to waste another hour of his precious middle age on a bunch of students who were solely interested in pot and the pill. He said he couldn't see any difference between them, for all their pretensions, and the late King Farouk, who was also solely interested in escaping into unlimited sensuality and escaping from reality. Well, when you let a couple of middle-aged men get away with being disrespectful to teenagers, it's the sort of thing that spreads, and it did. President Pusey of Harvard, said that the young Harvard hoodlums who threatened the personal safety of a member of the president's cabinet and deprived a representative of a chemical company of his liberty because they dissented with their views had no more right to call themselves students for a democratic society than Hitler's young brown shirts in the 30s or Mao's Red Guards today. Now, the fact that some of his neighbors in Cambridge, including me, had been saying that to President Pusey for a couple of years didn't make us any the less astonished that he finally up and said it himself to the world. Of course, there's still time for the teenagers to crush the revolt of the middle age, but if they don't take swift action, our American air may soon be fouled by the fumes of burning allowance checks. And this is Al Capp, being middle-aged and cranky on NBC's Morning.
Al Capp, burning bridges across the generation gap. And you can hear Al every weekend here on Monitor. Spanish Eyes. NBC News on the Hour is next, and then there'll be more of Monitor. I'm Ted Steele.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Monitor.